Hello, and welcome to Wellness Wednesday Weekly. This is your host, Damaris Luz-Mercado, and today we are going to be talking about normalizing grief and cultivating hope. And with us to explore this topic today, we have our guest, Nancy Ross Rivera, who is a licensed clinical social worker. Nancy is a phenomenal person, is someone I've known for many, many years, someone I hold dear to me, who I've seen grow through this work and has a specialty in trauma and in grief, and has her budding practice and company called Pivotal Clarity. And I'll let her say more about herself. Nancy, please talk more.
Hey, Dee. Hello. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about such a such an important topic during this time that we are in. It's just so significant. That is my sweet spot. It's the soft spot in my heart. Trauma and grief from a long personal development and healing process. I really like this topic about nurturing ourselves through this process of grief and cultivating hope. Mm. So thank you.
Well, thank you for being here. So just before we get into talking about this topic a little bit further, you know, what draws you to this? Because you said you have a little bit of a, let's say, a passion for this work.
Well, having had my own personal journey of healing through trauma, and, you know, as you heal through trauma, there is a point where you actually have to grieve. You have to grieve what you lost. Grieve what may have been. You go through a process of mourning your losses, and so that's why grief is such an important part of that process of healing from trauma, because you actually have to allow yourself to go through that process.
Hmm. So how do we define grief? You know, I think that, you know, during this time, we have the pandemic, you know, we have this election year and cycle, and job loss or income loss or family loss, and so many things that people may be experiencing right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure people might be grieving in different ways. So how do we recognize, how do you define grief?
Well, you know, to start off, grief is different things to different people, and what it looks like. Grief is can be a strong, overwhelming emotion for people, regardless, you know, of where their sadness stems from. You know, whether it's from a loss of a loved one, loss of a job, maybe diagnosed with a terminal diagnosis these days, you know, not that COVID is necessarily a terminal diagnosis, but, you know, it is an alarming diagnosis for most, or someone that they loved is very ill. So grief in of itself can leave some people feeling numb, some people feeling angry, some people feeling some guilt, maybe, and possibly even experiencing some blaming. They need to, you're finding this, you know, who to blame yourself. And usually it starts with blaming yourself for something that happened.
Before you go further on that, so you mentioned anger or feeling angry, and I know anger is one of the stages of grief. So can you just, you know, just speak out the different stages of grief real quick so we can kind of keep them in mind as we continue with conversation?
Sure. The five stages of grief that are more popularly known were first proposed by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross in a book that she wrote in 1969 on death and dying. And so she spent a lot of time with people, you know, at the bedside of people that were dying. And so what she found was some commonalities in these people that she spent time with. And there were these stages that people went through even before dying. But then it was later applied to people dealing with the loss. So things like anger, usually, you know, it can start out maybe, and let me just back up a little bit. These stages, they don't necessarily go in any chronological order. There's no order to experiencing these stages. You can start out by maybe feeling just completely angry or depressed, you know. But the stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. You know, anger can mask itself, and the effects of the effects of denial. So you can be in much denial, but the way that you're going to express it is through anger. And then, you know, and that can also maybe have some isolation where you're isolating yourself from people, places, things that you normally would do, your hobbies and things like that. And that, you know, that all goes with that being in that stage of anger. Then there is bargaining, and usually, you know, we're bargaining, we're trying. It's a normal reaction to the feeling of helplessness and vulnerability. And so we feel like this need to regain control. And so, you know, we do things like, if only we had sought medical attention sooner, or if only we would have gotten, you know, a second opinion. So we start this bargaining pattern of thoughts in our minds. And then there's depression. And so, you know, we're more familiar with depression. But depression can look different, you know, for different people, depending on where they were prior to the loss. But mostly, you know, it's just being, you don't want to do the things you did before, maybe loss of appetite, you know, your sleeping pattern is disrupted. You find no pleasure in the things that you found pleasure before, not even, you know, in connecting with loved ones. So depression in of itself, you know, can go pretty deep depending on the person. And then ultimately, the place where we want to come to is to a place of acceptance. And, you know, the thing is, it's not like you're going to be okay, you know, necessarily, like you're tracking these different stages and, you know, oh, now I'm in acceptance, I'm going to be okay. Because you can go in and out of these stages at different times for whatever reason.
Right. So how, I mean, you mentioned some ways that people can recognize when they're in, let's say, in depression or maybe some of the other stages of grief. But what would you say are things that people can do to help themselves and have hope and possibly prosper, right? To be able to cultivate hope, because grief in itself, it's known to be heavy, right? And during this time, a lot of things are feeling heavy for a lot of people. I mean, there are people who are prospering and are just fine and moving about life and managing everything okay. But then there's some people who aren't, who are having some challenges, right? And so what would be some ways for people to be able to get through that, get through grief they might be experiencing or a particular stage? I mean, do you have to go through all the stages, right, to come out of it?
Well, you know, everybody goes through different, you know, grief is a process and it looks different for everyone. And so, you know how you see someone and say, oh, but she's not even crying, or, you know, he doesn't look like he's suffering, you know. And so we make these statements, but in reality, we don't know what that person has internalized and what's going on. So, you know, just because someone is not, you know, a heaping mess on the floor, it doesn't mean that they're not grieving. Grief looks differently for everyone. And so I think where we can start is by first having that level of understanding that grief is going to look different for everyone, and their process is going to look different for everyone depending on where you're at. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I wanted to maybe suggest was, you know, that people who are grieving do not need to be fixed. They don't need, you know, they don't need advice. They don't need to be evaluated. they need someone to listen to them. You know, I think that's the most important thing. When you're grieving, you just want to be heard, and you want to, you know, you want to feel heard. And to do that, we need to be fully present for others. And so that means that we ourselves need to take care of our own, self if we are grieving. And then the other thing that I would like to offer is that people want to be acknowledged. They want to be validated. They want you to know that you're aware of their loss, you know. And the other thing is that, you know, there's we can't compare someone's loss to another person's loss. So if someone lost a job, but someone, you know, lost a loved one, we really should not engage in comparing those losses, because a loss is a loss. And it brings out different things for different people. I think that that's also very important in helping cultivate hope for others, is that we can't compare losses.
I think that's very important, because you know, we all experience loss so differently, and how certain losses affect each one of us. You know, at the front end of this, we spoke about normalizing grief, right? So normalizing, like, how do you define that in this topic? Like, you know, how do we normalize grief?
Well, is that they're not alone. We are not alone. They're not alone. We need to be reassured that our emotions are normal, that the process that we're going through is normal, for lack of a better word. That, you know, that what you're experiencing is not wrong, that it's not wrong to be angry, that it's not wrong to be in denial. It's just accepting your emotions and where you're at. And so when we do that by validating others where they're at, letting them know that we're there, that we're listening, encouraging them to take care of themselves, offering to support them in whatever way they want to be supported, and that we're able to do. So in normalizing, it's just, you know, you're not alone. This is not unique to you, in a sense, even though it is your own process, and it is your own unique process. Loss in of itself is not unique, because we all experience loss at some point in our lives. It's just right now in this season of, you know, of life, there seems to be more loss and coming at us faster than we are accustomed to or have experienced in the past.
Yeah, I like some of the things that you've mentioned and how we can support someone. So whether we're going through or experiencing some stage of grief, it's important to seek out help or ask someone, hey, listen, I want to talk, right? And all I need for you to do is just listen to me, you know, and like almost a sort of self-advocacy, if you will, to say, hey, I, I need that. Mm-hmm. And if not from someone we know directly or someone close or someone that we trust, maybe seeking professional help as well and being able to find someone to help with that. Or even the reverse is like how to support someone going through a particular stage of grief and to be there for someone. It's a tough role, and sometimes we want to interject and give opinions, and but I like what you said, and just listen, just listen and hold the space for someone we care about, and if we need it for ourselves, ask someone to hold the space for us as well. That will go a long way.
Yeah. Also using, saying things like, I've been thinking of you. I will support you in any way that I can. If you ever want to talk about, your special someone or whatever the situation is, I'm here for you and I'll listen. Using that type of dialogue, it just opens up the door for people. And brings tends to bring down the guard so that people feel more comfortable and safe. I think that's, people need to feel safe when they are, revealing, their feelings with you, when they are exposing their heart and their thoughts. People need to feel that they're in a safe space to do that. And so we do that by inviting them, by using those kinds of words that are just very soothing and nurturing and supporting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this has just been great to hear. I don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed, because it can feel like a lot to try to help somebody sometimes if they're going through some heavy stuff, right? So I think a lot of what you said is good to recognize for ourselves if we're going through something, or be able to recognize in someone else if they're going through something, and ways to help ourselves and ways to help others. And so, I thank you so much for sharing this bit right here. And, it's definitely about cultivating hope. Hope is, just wanting something to happen. Usually that's better, right? And head in a positive direction, desire for that, for ourselves and for other people. So, and for our community. So we have to take care of one another. That's really what I believe. So I don't know if you have any other thoughts or words to share, or maybe any resources.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing, if time allows, I just wanted to reemphasize. I know that I said, the things that we could be doing, but I also wanted to just a couple of things in terms of what not to do. Expecting people to jump, right back into activities, giving people time and space, and also not taking people's, the person's anger or any feelings that they display personally. I know that's really difficult, especially when it's a close relationship, whether it's, it's in a family, a husband and wife or whatever, partner, or, someone who's close to you, making sure that you're not internalizing and taking those things personal. So making mm-hmm. sure that you're in a good space for yourself as well. Mm-hmm. Because of the pandemic, mental health is just grown exponentially in terms of accessibility. And so there's a lot of online platforms where you can seek help. Also, if you're employed through an EAP program, employee assistance program, you can ask for help. And that's usually free, and you get a couple of sessions out of that. But there's, platforms like BetterHelp and Talkspace. But, ask for help. If you're a person a faith, you know, whether it's through your mosque, your temple, or your church, speaking to a spiritual leader who can also be a support to you or connect you to someone within your community to help you. The main point is to reach out and ask for help, because we don't have to do it alone. We're not meant to be alone. We're not created, you know, no man is an island. It's that old song. We all need each other's and we can be supported. And then I just wanted to share this this proverb that says, a longing deferred makes the heart sick. And so we all have this longing to connect and to be connected. And so reaching out at a time like this is ever so important.
Oh, that was wonderful. That was really great. And thank you so much for being with us here today and giving a moment of your time, taking time from your, you know, busy day and schedule. And I would also like for you to share any ways that people can get in touch with you if they'd like to connect further.
Oh, sure. I have a Facebook page, Pivotal Clarity. And so if you want to reach out to me through the Facebook page, do so. And I will be glad to connect with you.
Wonderful. Thank you once again, Nancy, for being with us here today. And I look forward to connecting with you further on another time.
Okay, another my pleasure.
Yes, there's more to discuss.
Peace out, my dear friend.
Yes, ciao for now.